The Spectre. Even in the shadowlands of the afterworld, the Spectre felt the universe shudder and then disappear. Someone was destroying reality, and very soon existence, even his own, would be ended. The Spectre, white-skinned and green-cloaked, was a vengeance spirit. For millennia, he believed his power had no limits. He could walk as a giant and tower over worlds, or he could take on the guise of man and walk beside them unnoticed. He felt another part of the universe disappear.
Where are you? Who are you?
He knew better than to expect an answer. He strode over Earth's shadowland, looking at the new arrivals. 100 million souls were passing through to their final voyage.
How many more are coming?
He recognized some of the heroes he fought alongside when he still walked the Earth. He remembered that they were powerful, some nearly as strong as he. If they could die, how could he survive?
From where do they come?
He searched other parts of the afterworld and saw the souls of 1 million different worlds flooding into their respective shadowlands. But their worlds had vanished too.
Where have they gone?
Impossibly, all existence had disappeared. He then sensed life, a solitary essence where there had been countless lives before. It was a ripple speeding temporally through space.
Come to me.
Was this the enemy? All he could see was the color of blood. For the very first time, the Spectre felt fear.
The immortal words of Dorothy Gale came to mind as I looked around me, not actually expecting to find myself in Kansas, but definitely somewhere on Earth. Instead, I was sliding, alas, not singing and dancing, into the world of the dead. The Spectre was waiting for me, 600 feet tall. In Cool Hand Luke, one of my favorite movies, Strother Martin said, "What we've got here is failure to communicate." I'm not sure failure would have been the right word to describe me trying to explain to the monitor's heroes what was going on. Inability might have come closer. But I had no failure to communicate with the Spectre. He was dead. I was dead-ish. Close enough. I'd explain things to him, and then, in a Patrick Swayze, Whoopi Goldberg game of telephone, he could translate that to the others, all the while keeping me out of it. After Supergirl's death, I didn't want to burden them with my am I dead or just mostly dead problems. There were much bigger concerns to worry about now.
There are two moments in time that must be guarded. We need to divide our forces between them.
If the anti-monitor's at the dawn of time, we should focus all our power there.
No, Diana, you're wrong. Kara destroyed the anti-monitor's ability to quickly merge the universes. We know his shadow demons disappeared along with his antimatter wave. He's desperate and willing to do anything. We can't afford failure. Harbinger, you said the multiverse was created on Oa when Krona opened the portal to the dawn of time.
Yes, when he saw the hand of God.
Superman 1 turned back to the others.
That's the other nexus point in this crisis. We need to divide up. One force does need to go after the anti-monitor, while the other stops Krona.
While Superman 1 and the Spectre explained the plan, I watched Superman 2 standing alone to the side. I recognized his look. It must have been how I looked when I realized I might never see Iris again. Everyone turned to Captain Marvel. He smiled sheepishly.
The anti-monitor is still our main target, right? So only the strongest hero should go after him.
He looked at the Spectre.
That means you, doesn't it?
No, I am needed on Oa. I will meet your warriors there.
But we need... Guess he doesn't like anyone arguing with him, huh?
Okay, this was your idea, Supes. So what do we do now?
We divide our forces and we go.
That simple, huh?
Superman 2 unfolded his arms and smiled.
Wouldn't that be nice for a change?
When I reappeared at the dawn of time, I was a ghost again, standing on that spit of land floating above the black hole and its event horizon. About 300 yards away, I saw the anti-monitor talking to my other self. That flash then disappeared, and I realized he was traveling back to the future where I'd just been. He was also the reason I was a ghost again, Physics wouldn't allow both my physical selves to be in the same place at the same time. If he was corporeal, then I couldn't be. I knew in 10 seconds he would be in the land of the dead. In less than 10 minutes, we would be in the monitor's limboverse, convincing the others to join me here. This time seconds after my other self disappeared into the future. It wouldn't be a good idea for them to see me. The paradoxes of time was the stuff of headaches and nightmares. On cue, the others appeared behind me. The two Supermen, Wonder Woman, Captain Marvel, Lady Quark, and Captain Atom, the most powerful of the heroes, would lead the attack from the front. Our man, Uncle Sam, John Jones, Power Girl, Element Lad, and the rest of them moved into flank and rear positions to prevent his escape.
I have been waiting for you. I was certain the Flash would not disappoint me.
He was waiting for them. I suddenly realized what I'd done.
Attack!
Superman 1 hurtled at the anti-monitor. The others followed closely behind.
Go back! Get out of here!
Of course, they couldn't hear me. Superman 1 bore down on the anti-monitor, jackhammering his fists into him.
What did you do to the Flash? Where is he?
With each rapid-fire punch, I saw Superman weaken. Then, he collapsed. One by one, the others fell too. Touching the anti-monitor instantly drained them of their powers. The anti-monitor stared at my friends, who were all but unconscious.
I must admit your previous unceasing attacks weakened me. I did not have the power to again breach the walls of creation. But now, because you unwittingly journeyed here with a ludicrous idea that you could stop me, your dying energies will feed mine. Do you understand what you have done? Your power will make it possible for me to destroy the multiverse forever!
Without raising a fist to strike back, the anti-monitor defeated the most powerful heroes in the universe. And they had me to thank for that. I had led my friends into a trap.
The Spectre. Once they arrived on the planet Oa, the Spectre divided his warriors into two factions. One would provide protection, while the other assisted him in stopping Krona. The lead team consisted of the villains, headed by Lex Luthor, Superman 1's archenemy. At any other moment in time, Luthor would have led them against the heroes, but universal genocide, he begrudgingly admitted, made for very willing, if strange, bedfellows. Besides, Luthor reasoned, once the universe was safe, he would have a powerful army at his disposal. All the better to negotiate settlements with.
The Owens will attempt to stop us. You will prevent that. But you must not harm them.
Luthor nodded in agreement.
No problem. We'll treat them with kid gloves. Like hell we will.
The Spectre knew that the Owens would be waiting. He had already tried to reason with them, but with their typical condescending attitudes, they rejected his warnings.
We can protect ourselves, and we do not allow outsiders on our world. Please leave now.
You have to understand the threat the universe faces.
Your presence is unnecessary. There is no force in the universe we cannot deal with.
You are prideful to the point of self-destruction.
Go now, ghost, and do not return. But should you try, be aware, we possess great power.
History warned the Spectre that the Owens would refuse his help. They would ineffectually beg Krona to stop his experiments, and he would, nonetheless, proceed defiantly. But the Spectre also realized the Owens' shame would shatter their arrogance. Their terrible mistake would eventually lead them to create the Green Lantern Corps. The Spectre also knew that Luthor and his team would ignore his warnings too and try to kill the Owens. They could try. The Owens were all but immortal, and no force of villains from Earth could do anything more than hold them at bay. But that was all the Spectre needed them to do. Krona stared at the swirling forces forming in front of them.
Krona, please. You know when Aphrahim reached into that unknown, the Shibboleth galaxy, with more than a million worlds, vanished. Now you want to open the door wider?
You always were the timid one, Taran. Knowledge should never be forbidden.
Just look. Look and learn.
The mists parted, and a hand began to form and reach up through the churning energies.
It's not possible. A hand? But whose?
Was this, Krona wondered, the hand of God himself? Even as he backed away in fear, Turan stared at the growing hand.
There are stars clustered in its palm. Is this how the universe was born?
Shut it down now, Krona, before...
But it was already too late.
I watched as the Anti-Monitor stood before the black hole and pushed his hand, now burning with fire, through it. It was his hand, not God's, that Krona saw on the planet Oa and that Pariah had watched destroy his world. In another moment, he would release the antimatter star cluster. It would insinuate itself through all existence. It would abort the birth of the multiverse. In that single terrible instant, the Anti-Monitor would destroy all creation. I saw Pariah run to the Anti-Monitor.
Don't do this! This is all my fault! My experiment destroyed the universe once! I won't let you do it again!
Are you such a fool that you believe a meager scientific investigation could unleash such cataclysmic forces?
What? What do you mean?
You merely had the misfortune to open the portal in time to watch me unravel the fabric of creation. I created the multiverse to give birth to my anti-universe. Had my brother not forced us both into that long sleep, I would have then destroyed all the weakened universes.
Then I didn't kill my people? The universes didn't die because of me?
Lady Quark stared at Pariah.
You didn't murder my family?
But why can't I die? Why am I brought from universe to watch its destruction?
The Anti-Monitor pushed his hand deeper into the black hole. I saw his fingers begin to open and release the star cluster. He stopped suddenly. He forced his hand, trying to push it deeper into the churning maw. But instead, he was being pushed back.
What is this?
I already knew the answer. A second hand, white-skinned and sinewy, had grabbed the first. The Spectre had reached Oa.
No. Do it now.
He strained to push the Anti-Monitor's hand back through the mists. The Spectre's second team brought together Dr. Fate, Zatanna, Sargon, and more than a dozen other mages and sorcerers. Their powers would join his, increasing his own already formidable abilities. The Anti-Monitor fought back.
Krona, open the damnable portal! Do it now, you fool!
The Spectre and the Anti-Monitor struggled back and forth. I was watching a galactic arm wrestling match, and the fate of all existence was the prize. The Anti-Monitor knew all he needed was to open his fingers and free his antimatter star cluster. Whether he did it high above the black hole or just inside it didn't matter. Once released, the cluster would instantly destroy all life. The Spectre felt his arm pushed back up through the hole.
I am not strong enough. I need more power. I need more strength.
But the sorcerers had no more to give. That was when I realized why I was here. I wasn't alive, and I wasn't matter. I was pure energy. I ran past the Anti-Monitor and through the black hole to Oa. On the other side, the Spectre strained to push the Anti-Monitor's hand back through the swirling mists. I could see he was beginning to weaken. I knew I was ethereal. That had been sadly proven to me time and again. But at this moment, not existing as a living human being was a good thing. The sorcerers were locked in a circle, hands clasped together, an unbroken circuit. I breathed in deeply and then ran through them, one after the other, continuing the loop. If they felt anything as I passed between their atoms, it could only have been a momentary shudder of power. I was an energy transmitter, and each time I completed the circle, I gave a fraction of my energy to them. I ran faster, picking up speed with each revolution. My body may have not been material, but somehow, I could still feel pain and fatigue. It burned as the energy left me, but I couldn't stop now. Too many others had already sacrificed their lives for me to give up and say, "Well, I tried. Sorry." I ran. I had to keep supplying them with energy so they could pass it on to the Spectre. I thought of Iris, and not because my mind was wandering, but because she gave me my strength. She was my goal, my inspiration to not surrender to the multiplying pain. The Spectre's astral sinews bunched and tightened. With increasing strength, he thrust his hand into the black hole with even more force. Despite my mistakes, despite nearly leading the others to their deaths and the universes to their destruction, we were succeeding. I ran faster and faster. Our energy funneled into the Spectre with a final desperate push. He forced the Anti-Monitor's hand completely through the black hole. The universe shuddered, and creation began all over again. The universe was reborn. The hows, whys, and wherefores weren't important now. I opened my eyes to find myself in the Speed Force. Colors swirled around me, and I felt calm, happy, and ready to pitch my tent permanently here. I hadn't bothered to slow down and think, the cornerstone of the sciences I'd embraced all my life. And because of that, I had nearly destroyed everything. My first thought was to find the former speedsters who brought me here. Unfortunately, all I saw were those 1970s Peter Max rainbow colors. I guessed everyone else was sitting on some cloud somewhere. Maybe I shouldn't be concerned that they were ignoring me. They may be the spirits of speedsters past, but they obviously weren't all that bright. After all, they picked the wrong guy to do their bidding. I addressed the ether.
Hey, speed freaks! Why didn't you recruit Supergirl? She was almost as fast as me, and she wouldn't have screwed things up.
I was mad, not at the unseen spirits who lived here, but at myself. I didn't expect an answer, and when I got one, I couldn't have been more surprised.
You have not failed. You are not finished.
What do you mean I'm not finished? No. No. For God's sake, don't send me back!
Which, of course, is exactly what they did. I was in the telecommunications room on the monitor's satellite again, obviously sent back in time to before its destruction. I felt the hard steel floor under me, so I knew I was, in a manner of speaking, corporeal again. Dead, but still not allowed to rest.
Look at this, Barry.
The monitor was behind me and pointed to one of his view screens.
I'm finished watching movies. Why are you keeping me alive?
Because I'm afraid you're not done.
Yeah, right. Guess what? It's over. I nearly killed everyone. I want out.
The monitor smiled as he turned back to the view screen.
I'm not God, Barry, no matter what you think. I don't make these decisions. Now, look at this.
I saw a young girl adrift at sea, desperately grasping a small plank of rotting, floating wood. Despite her age, I recognized her. That's Lila.
In the next few minutes, I'm going to save her. Then 20 years from now, she will kill me.
If you know that, then...
Because she will bring all of you to me. For all my power, I can't do that. So I needed Lila. I needed Pariah as well. And I needed young Alex. And he won't even be born for 2 more decades.
He looked directly at me.
But most of all, Barry, I needed you.
I knew why I was here. My ability to move through the multiverse made me valuable to both him and the Anti-Monitor. But I didn't care about me now.
Observe.
From inside his satellite, I was once again staring at the event horizon surrounding that same black hole at the dawn of time. Like 3-day-old fish and unwanted relatives, this place was starting to get real old.
Barry, I believe you've been here before.
Yeah, and I keep coming back.
We watched as the black hole collapsed into itself. There was a moment of eerie stillness, and then it suddenly exploded. Once again, I watched the birth of the universe. Star matter disgorged in all directions and sent its burning magma throughout previously empty space. The satellite followed more than 200 billion such chunks of smoldering star stuff as the Big Bang propelled them far from their point of origin. Almost immediately, I knew what was happening. These burning balls of rock and lava were the very basis of the Milky Way galaxy.
In cosmic terms, I was nearly home. The Milky Way is a spiral, spinning out arms of stars and planets. Even before human life arrived, I knew we would settle into one of its minor arms, the Orion Spur, more than 26,000 light-years from its galactic center. I saw the sun form, and nearly a dozen planets take shape around it. Some, so small and distant from the ball of fire I knew would one day be called Earth, that they have not yet been detected by man. The monitor pointed to Earth.
To weaken the fabric of reality, my brother turned a single universe into a multiverse. But you and your friends have changed his history. That multiverse is no more. What was many has again become one.
I watched as the Earth cooled and crusted over. Through its light, I saw oceans form. Soon, I knew, cells would merge and split. From the seas and rivers, primitive life would crawl to take their first breath.
There is only one positive matter universe now, Barry. And to balance it, a single antimatter universe. It is as was intended.
One home instead of infinite Earths.
Because in this recreated reality, there never was a multiverse. Earth now has a single unified history. It is known and accepted by everyone.
Then we're done?
Not quite.
And once again, I disappeared. I was on Earth 3, sent back in time to before the universe was reborn. Ultraman of the Crime Syndicate hovered in midair next to Power Ring. Above them, the skies turned red. I knew what was coming next, but I didn't understand why I was here. Didn't we just rebuild the whole damn universe? Now I was in somebody's home. I saw a man I recognized as Alexander Luther, clearly Alex's father, with a woman I knew as Lois Lane.
I don't get it. The weather patterns are insane. They're not based on ocean currents. There's no reason for the sudden polar warming or the tornadoes or any of it. And those red skies, God, nothing makes any sense.
You're going to be working late, I can tell. But before you do, come on. I think you need a snuggle.
I let them go off alone. Being a ghost was bad enough. I didn't want to be a Peeping Tom ghost as well. I went to his study, though I already knew I didn't have the physical presence to boot his computer, let alone access any of his files. I sort of sat down and waited. Luther entered the lab about an hour later, poured himself some coffee, and began his work.
Skies don't color shift without reason. Something weird is happening, but I have no idea what. Give me a clue. Anything will do.
Tell him, Barry. You need to tell him what to do.
As if he would hear me, but I looked at Alexander and spoke.
The red skies are just the beginning.
Who's there? Where are you?
Hold the phone. He heard me? I finally understood why I was sent here. I also realized I had very little time.
Alexander, a wall of antimatter will sweep over this planet and destroy everything.
Wait a second, you know me? Who are you?
This planet is already dead, but there are other Earths that can still be saved.
Other Earths?
Alexander, you need to save your son.
My son?
This is what you have to do.
As quickly as I could, I gave him all the information he'd need to send his son to Earth-1's universe. I didn't know the monitor's coordinates, so I gave him the position of the JLA satellite. Alex could be rescued from there. I felt confident, based on what I'd seen, that this brilliant scientist could handle the method of transport. The monitor said he was unable to bring the ones he needed to him. That was why Harbinger was sent to recruit his warriors, and why I was sent to bring Alex to him. The circle closed. The monitor would now have everyone he needed in place.
Wait, how do you know I'm going to have a son?
I felt the monitor pulling me away.
Alex, it's time. My water just broke.
The Anti-Monitor. The positive matter universe recreated itself around him, and he knew its indivisible strength vastly exceeded his own. What had gone wrong? He had destroyed and absorbed the energies of countless universes without meeting resistance. Why had this final universe refused to accept its inevitable fate? The Anti-Monitor stood atop his sprawling fortress and gazed at the seemingly infinite breadth of his antimatter universe. As before, Quord was its only planet, but he sensed in its rebirth It was now devoid of both Thunderers and Shadows. He was alone, a master without slaves. That, he knew, would have to change. With his arms held high, he felt the forces of antimatter pour into him, strengthening him. To finally destroy the positive matter universe, he reluctantly understood that his antimatter universe would have to die as well.
Brother! You have not yet beaten me! I will have my revenge!
The anti-monitor was prepared to die as long as he took the rest of creation with him. Clark Kent.
Goodness, what a horrible dream. It was the end of everything. Our Earth, Kal-El's, all the universes. What do you want for breakfast, hon? Lois? That's weird. She never gets up before me. Wait a minute.
Clark looked around the bedroom, but didn't recognize it. The colors and decor were all different.
Where am I?
Clark made his way to the kitchen.
Lois?
He saw himself in the hallway mirror. A few more age lines creased his forehead that weren't there before, and the gray in his temples was still migrating its way to the rest of his formerly thick black hair. That was expected, of course. He was nearly 75. The bathroom door opened.
Lois?
He rushed down the hallway as a tall figure stepped through the steam, a bath towel wrapped around his waist.
Clark? Is that you?
He was staring at the other Clark Kent, the one from Earth One.
What are you doing here? This is my apartment. What are you doing here?
Please listen to me!
The monitor had explained what would happen only once. Harbinger needed to be careful now, not to make any mistakes in the retelling.
The five Earths merged along with their universes. Only one universe now exists.
During the previous hours, she brought the heroes to the Justice League satellite. She knew they were confused by the new Earth they saw. Little of what survived jibed with their memories.
This isn't Earth 1 or Earth 2 or any of the others. It's a new Earth, combined from all of them.
Nobody remembers the crisis except us. Everyone else thinks this is the same Earth it's always been.
That's because it is, John.
Superman 1 was beginning to understand what had happened.
The Earth was reformed at the dawn of time. In the Reborn universe, there never were infinite Earths. This is the only Earth that's ever existed.
So how come I remember the other one? And how come there's no Hub City on this Earth? I mean, that's where I was born. That's where I lived all my life. What happened to it?
What about the people? Which ones are still alive?
I don't know that yet. Why didn't the monitor tell me what to say?
A suspicious fear gripped Superman too.
No, it'll be okay. It has to be okay.
He saw Blue Beetle and Captain Marvel sitting across from him. Halfway down the conference table, Uncle Sam pressed forward in his chair.
What about Earth 4, Earth S, and Earth X? Is anyone else from those Earths still alive?
I can't answer that. Except for those of you who stood before the dawn of time, there can only exist one of each primal genetic coding.
Then there's only one Lois Lane on Earth. Are you telling me my wife's gone? As if she never existed? Is that why I woke up in his apartment? Answer me, Lila. Except for me, does any of my life still exist?
I don't know, Superman.
So why am I still here?
Superman 1 frowned as he gazed out of the JLA satellite toward the Earth, 22,300 miles below them.
I think we're going to find many differences between our memories and this new reality.
Pressing his fingers to his temple, Firestorm shook his head in despair.
Anyone got a really big aspirin? I'm definitely getting a serious migraine.
A rolling shudder rippled through the satellite. Superman turned back to the Earth. A churning vortex was forming around it, drawing the planet into a giant maw.
We've got to get out of here!
But the vortex suddenly expanded and swallowed them, too. There was infinite darkness. Superman 1 knew where they had been taken, and it frightened him. It seemed that only moments ago, Kara had been murdered here before his eyes.
Not again.
Welcome to my universe. And welcome to your doom.
You said you'd help me! You said they'd come to save me! Why did you leave me here all alone? Why, Flash? Why?
The psycho pirate tried to pull my old uniform out from under the castle stones that had fallen atop it. It was as if freeing it would somehow free him.
Come back, Flash! You promised to help me! You promised!
My uniform and my ring were all that survived my death. It was torn and nearly unrecognizable, much like the rest of my life. I was at the door of the Anti-Monitor's fortress as my friends slowly made their way here. They looked so tired. I didn't know what kept holding them together.
My ring's not picking him up anywhere. Where is he?
Don't worry, he's here.
They made their way across the rubble. The fortress had been pretty much demolished in their last fight, and the stone and debris obstacle course complicated their progress through the heavily littered courtyards. Wally walked alongside them, and I rushed to him. I wanted to hug him and let him know how much I loved him, but I knew I couldn't.
Barry?
He was looking at me.
Wally?
I reached out, but he couldn't see me anymore. Wonder Woman searched the area.
There's nobody here. Who were you talking to?
I thought I saw Barry.
Captain Marvel looked around him.
Isn't he dead?
He's here, I know he is.
I stayed at his side until he finally stopped running. In front of him was the psycho pirate, still tugging at the last remnants of my old costume. He was still talking to my uniform as if I was inside it.
Come on, Flash. Save me the way you said you would. You're one of the good guys, right? Good guys never lie.
Wally grabbed the pirate and easily flung him aside.
Let go of that! You have no right to touch it!
He said you'd save me. He said you'd save me.
Wally, that's enough!
Look at him. It's over.
The pirate was lying on the rocks. His eyes stared blankly into space.
He said you'd save me. He said you'd save me. You'd save me.
His mind was gone. It surprised me, but despite everything he'd done to me, I still felt sorry for him. I saw Lady Quark hunkered over something resting on one of the rock ledges.
I found this. It's a ring with a lightning bolt insignia.
Wally grabbed it from her.
Barry's flash ring. Then he really is gone.
He was a good friend, and an even better man.
I will miss him. We all will.
Wally kept staring at the ring.
Everything good about me I owe to him. It's not fair he died here alone.
I wanted so much to let him know that he shouldn't cry for me. Whatever was going to happen, I knew I'd be all right.
Everyone, he's here! Hurry before it's too late!
Wally folded the tattered remains of my costume and laid them carefully on a rock. He put my ring atop it, then turned solemnly to the others.
The Anti-Monitor's mine!
He was already inside the fortress before the others could take a step.
In the remains of a stone corridor of the Anti-Monitor's fortress, Kid Flash waited for the other heroes to join him and brooded. There was no body, but there was also no doubt. Barry was dead. The best man he ever knew was gone. While he tried not to think about his own father, Rudy West, it was better to think about the positive, to remember the man who built dreams, instead of the one who tore them apart. Barry had quickly become more than just his mentor. Over the years, his very real friendship and patient counseling transformed him into Wally's surrogate father. When Wally got angry and sullen, which happened all too often as he matured into his late teens and began to understand the abuse that chipped away at him daily, it was Barry's easygoing manner that always brought him out of his dark funk.
What we do is really amazing, isn't it? One second you're at home in Blue Valley, and the next you could be sitting in some cafe in Casablanca. When I was your age, I couldn't do a third of the things I've seen you accomplish. One of these days, you're going to be the best of all of us.
Huh. Never better than you.
I am pretty good, aren't I? But you know, maybe it only proves I'm an idiot. but I never give up. And I'm pretty sure you won't either.
Kid Flash gave the others a weak smile as they made their way to the entrance.
What took you so long?
Superman 1 nodded somberly and took the lead.
Come on, Kid Flash. Let's do this.
That kid is gone.
As they pushed toward the castle center, Wally realized something.
The world doesn't need a Kid Flash, but it'll always need a Flash. Rest well, Barry. You will be remembered.
In the middle of a courtyard, in the exact center of the fortress, they found the Anti-Monitor waiting for them.
Welcome, my enemies. Now, prepare to...
Why don't you just shut up?
The two Supermen, Lady Quark, Captain Marvel, Captain Atom, and the others, launched a simultaneous attack. At the same time, the Spectre led the mages and sorcerers toward the antimatter universe's Sol Black Sun. Snuff out the source of the Anti-Monitor's power, and his strength would quickly fail. Alexander Luthor and Pariah, combining their dimension-spanning powers, led a third contingent of heroes to return the Earth to its newly reformed universe.
I recognize Batman's hand in this three-pronged attack. He might not have had the powers to physically fight the Anti-Monitor, but he was one of the best strategists I'd ever known. Because we're often seen more as icons than as people, superheroes are usually lumped together as if we were one, cut from the same skin-tight latex cloth. But our powers, however subtly different they might be, do fit into more definable categories. There are the strong guys. They specialize in the potentially dangerous close-range attacks. The Supermen, Captain Marvel, and about a dozen others fit that loose description. They attacked physically, pummeling the Anti-Monitor with their fists, or as necessary, their whole body. Batman's plan was for them to strike hard, then quickly retreat to avoid the Anti-Monitor's counterattack. Seconds later, they would launch a new strike, this time from a different angle, repeating their hit-and-run tactics. Then, there were the long-range blasters. Captain Atom, Firestorm, The Ray, Starfire, Lady Quark, and most of the others fit into that category, as did the Supermen when they used their heat vision instead of their fists. The individual blasters' powers, although similar, were not the same. Some were nuclear in origin, others solar. Still others had a more naturally explosive touch. Firing at the Anti-Monitor from a distance was perhaps somewhat safer than a close-range fistfight, but their attacks had to be perfectly timed to strike exactly between each of the strong guy blows. A mistimed power blast could hit one of their allies instead. Finally, there were the mages and sorcerers. I was a scientist and believed wholly in the consistent and logical laws of physics. The sorcerer's powers, however, came from someplace beyond my understanding. For once, our timing couldn't have gone better. The mages surrounded the antimatter sun with a globe of supernatural energy. As long as they could hold it in place, the sun's antimatter power could not penetrate their combined shields. Meanwhile, the Anti-Monitor reeled from the combined assault of the strong guys and the power blasters. They attacked from all sides, seemingly at once, pushing him off balance. As soon as he reached to grab one of them, five others moved in for their attack. Each blast may have been little more than a gnat sting to him, but they kept coming, building with intensity. He stumbled back. He frantically tried to draw more power from his son, but it was now far beyond his reach. The Anti-Monitor burst into light, then fell. I almost couldn't believe it, but it was over. Wonder Woman kneeled beside the Anti-Monitor.
Are we sure?
No heartbeat. Anyone know how Alex is doing?
We made our way off Quard, and in its shadow, saw Alex. His matter-antimatter body was now immense, dwarfing the Earth, which was very slowly moving through him. With Pariah's help, he was using his own body to create the portal back to our universe.
Hurry! Go through now! I can't keep this open much longer. Go through before you're trapped here forever.
You heard him, everybody. Go!
The heroes followed the Earth into the portal.
From a distance, they were a stream of gaudy colors disappearing inside it. I couldn't have been more proud of them.
Faster! It's closing!
I saw the Supermen rushing back and forth, helping the slower heroes to the portal. A handful of heroes straggled behind the others. Wonder Woman looked back.
Are we sure we have everyone?
As far as I can see, guess that means it's time.
You shall not escape so easily.
Damn! The Anti-Monitor was standing behind us. His armor was gone, and his chalk-white skin was mostly burned off him. The muscle beneath was blistered and still bubbling with fire. In places, you could see jagged chunks of bone cutting through torn tissue. With every step, the flames ate at him, but he still lumbered toward us.
I am not through with you.
It seemed he no longer cared about some ultimate victory. All he wanted now was to kill us. Only the Supermen were left here with me. As usual, I was useless, but I knew they didn't have a fraction of the power to fight him on their own. Superman 1 lunged for him.
I'll take care of him.
No!
Superman 2 grabbed him.
There's no time. Go to Earth. I can do this on my own.
You can't!
Superman 1 struggled to pull free, but his older version held on firmly.
You can't fight him alone!
My Lois is gone. She was my life. And in this newborn universe, my Krypton never existed. Do you realize what that means, Kal-El? If I hadn't gone back in time with you, I wouldn't exist either.
But...
You have your life. I won't let you sacrifice it.
The portal is closing!
Please, kiss your Lois for me. And for your own sake, let her know how much she means to you.
I don't know where he found his strength, but he took Superman 1 and threw him through Alex's portal. Superman 2 and I were now trapped in this universe together. The Anti-Monitor slowly made his way closer to us. His still flaming body was now reduced to a fiery ball of energy.
You will sorely regret staying behind, Kryptonian.
Somebody had to take out the garbage.
Superman struck the Anti-Monitor hard, then retreated. He was using Batman's hit-and-run tactic. The Anti-Monitor reeled with each blow, but he continued onward. What remained of his left hand reached out, and a fiery blast of power slammed into Superman. He fell back, and I saw he was bleeding all over.
You fool! My strength regenerates! I will destroy you!
Superman slowly pulled himself up.
Destroy me. Hell, you've already destroyed too many. In this world, you had all the power you needed. But you wiped out untold universes because you wanted more. Because life has no meaning to you.
His knees buckled for a moment, but he forced himself to stand tall.
Well, guess what?
It ends here!
His hands tightly balled into fists. This was his final attack, and he knew it had to work. He rocketed at the Anti-Monitor. The trouble was, I knew it couldn't work. As strong as Superman was, he wasn't nearly strong enough. I knew something else, too. I had less than a second to help him. I had to run faster than I'd ever run before. In less than a tenth of a second, I was in the Speed Force, moving too quickly to see the swirling colors I knew were all around. Too fast to be lulled into comfort, to want to forget my mission and stay here for the rest of eternity. God, I'd been running so fast and for so long, I wished I could find my peace. Instead, I put on another burst of speed. Another tenth of a second. Another. 4/10 of a second had passed. I was falling behind schedule. In another tenth of a second, I was in the Spectre's afterworld. This was the land of the dead, and as it existed out of time and space, it was not affected when the multiverse merged into one. I saw Green Arrow, Nighthawk, Lord Volt, and his daughter Princess Fern. I also saw Cole, the Huntress, the Monitor, and the members of the Crime Syndicate. There were hundreds of them, heroes and villains from an infinity of destroyed universes. They had all died in the crisis, and they were making their way through the mists of their world shadowlands toward the light that promised them their final rest. They couldn't come back with me, I knew that. I'd only been spared because of my power. But their powers? Boy, could I use their powers now! I ran to the front of the line. The light, or whatever it was, glowed just ahead of me. By putting on another burst of speed and running into it, I knew I could end my story right then. But I also knew there was no chance of that happening. Near the front of the line, I saw an elderly woman talking to a much younger one. Neither of them saw me, but in recognition, I found myself smiling at them. I looked up, as if up is where God somehow resided.
Hope you don't mind, but that one over there, you're gonna have to wait for her a few seconds more.
I ran to the front, blocking their way into the light.
I need you.
I looked at the super beings in line.
This literally won't take a second, but I need all of you.
Less than a 30th of a second remained as I returned to the antimatter dimension. I saw Superman 2 about to slam headlong into the anti-monitor. I ran at him, and for an instant, our bodies merged. The dead heroes, even the villains, were gone, but they had all willingly given their power to me. And now, I was sharing their final gift with Clark. Kal-El of Krypton was no longer just Superman. Part of him was Ultraman, Power Ring, and all the other Crime Syndicate villains of Earth 3. He was the Sorcerer Arian and the Crystal Weaver Cole. He was the Justice Alliance of Earth D, Aqua Girl, the Icicle, and so many others. There were also all the people who died when the White Wall of Antimatter swept across their Earths. They had no special power of their own, but they gave their spirit and determination. Finally, he was also Kara. It had been Supergirl at the front of the line, leading the others to their final rest. They all lent their strength and their will to Superman. When he hit the anti-monitor, they all struck him as a unified force. And before that final fraction of a second ticked into place, it was over. The powerful shockwaves from the anti-monitor's death rippled through the antimatter universe. They spread in all directions. We saw the wave coming at us, hungry to tear us apart. Without thinking, I grabbed Kal-El's hand to pull him away.
Flash? Guess this means you can see me. Boo?
I thought you were...
Yeah, but it's not so bad, really. You get used to it.
As the shockwaves washed over where we'd been standing, we were already gone. We stood on a jagged peak overlooking Earth's shadowlands. It stretched further than we could see, disappearing into the thickening mists. Somehow, it was calming to know this place existed.
Where are we?
No time to talk. Hurry up.
He looked at the line of people making their way toward whatever awaited them.
I don't understand.
Just go. There's someone waiting for you at the front of the line.
He looked at me strangely, then launched himself over the crowd. He paused in midair, looked ahead for a moment, sorting through the crowd, then turned back to me with the most wonderful smile on his face. He took his position at the front of the line and reached his hand out. Lois took it, then gave him a long kiss.
You sure took your sweet time, Clark.
You know me. Always goofing off.
By the way, you know what today is?
No. What?
Thursday. Today's Thursday.
Holding hands, they disappeared into the light. I waited. Then I looked around.
Hey, forget me. When is it my turn? Come on, I did everything you asked.
The anti-monitor was dead, this time for good. The universe was reborn. There was now a single Earth and enough heroes on it to keep it safe. Hell, I even turned the lights off when I left.
I don't want to wait anymore.
The powers that be must have heard me, because I suddenly disappeared. I was back in Missouri, very close to home. I followed Interstate 74 through Granite Peak National Park, south to Central City. It was October, and the leaves were a breadbasket mosaic of bright oranges, purples, reds, and yellows. Iris and I would often come here,
early Sunday mornings, lay out a large, ratty blanket, open my old Range Rider thermos filled with hot coffee instead of milk, pick at the pastries I bought the night before from Anderson's Bakery, and lay back watching the sun come up. Strangely, I never took those moments for granted. I always understood exactly how precious they were. The city's home of the Flash, population 900,000 plus, Rotary Oddfellows Moose sign, was on the interstate, 2 miles north of town, just as it had always been. Seeing my name painted 3 feet high, as if I were Central City's only reason to exist, always embarrassed me. But it felt especially good now to see it again. I ran south and east through city center, past Dexter Miles's Flash Museum, a little more run down than I remembered, but still in good shape. A second later, I was standing in front of our home in Danville. I didn't know why I was drawn here again, but considering everything else that recently happened to me, I didn't mind. The house seemed a bit different, a brighter green and freshly painted. There was a row of miniature yellow rose bushes tucked under the dining room window that had not been there before. I stepped onto the porch and saw that the swing set was new as well. What time period had I been sent to? Was this the past, before Iris and I bought the house? The Schwartzes used to have roses in front, before I got the bright idea of surprising Iris by ripping them out and replacing them with Iris's. She, of course, made certain my days as part-time horticulturist ended right then. I stood on the porch, also freshly painted, and stepped through the locked door to the hallway and the living room beyond. A silver-haired older woman was sitting on the couch, her back to me, sipping tea. In front of her was a boy, no more than 11.
You can't keep breaking things, Bart. Don't make me be angry with you.
I'm sorry, Grandma. It's just I can't, you know, stand still. It's like I'm just dead if I'm not running somewhere at the speed of light.
The speed of what? My throat dried instantly. The woman sitting in front of me was nearly 60 years old. But there was no mistaking her beautiful hazel green eyes. Iris. She was alive. She had lived through the crisis. I stared for what seemed forever, just to make sure what I thought I was looking at was actually what I was looking at. But I already knew the truth.
I'll be better, Grandma. I promise.
I know you will. Especially since you'll have lots of time to think about what you've been doing wrong.
Bart looked nervous. Something told me he'd been down this road before.
No, Grandma, don't. You can't.
Iris smiled at him, and my heart melted. God, how I loved that smile.
No video games for 2 weeks.
I'll die. I can't do it. You know I can't.
2 weeks, Bart. And you're also grounded.
No, no, please don't do that. Uncle Wally needs me.
Wally? Kid Flash was still in Central City? Iris took his hand and pulled him closer to her.
I think the Flash can deal with fighting crime by himself for a little bit. Now go to your room.
Hey, what do you know? Wally took my name.
But Grandma...
Iris leaned forward and kissed him on the forehead.
I love you, Bart. But if you want to follow in the footsteps of your uncle and your grandfather, you'll have to learn discipline.
Bart headed up the stairs.
Aw, man. I'm always getting grounded. I just got hack blood, too.
Iris waited until she heard the bedroom door shut, then stood and walked to the fireplace. Her stride was slower than it used to be, but God bless her, it was still strong and defiant. She took our wedding photo from the mantel and held it for a long time.
Oh, you'd love him, Barry. God, he's exactly like you. I just wish...
She stared at the photograph a few moments longer and softly kissed it. I watched her walk to the window seat, still holding our photograph, then sit down, looking out to the street. Her eyes glazed over, but she was still smiling. I felt something pulling at me.
No, not now.
I need more time. I sat beside Iris and put my hand over hers. She couldn't feel me, but her hand shook just a bit before settling again. Quietly, we sat there as we'd done so many times before. The houses across the street hadn't been built then,
and we'd had an unblocked view into what we knew would be a wonderful future together. Finally, I felt that pull again. Okay. I leaned in and kissed her on the cheek.
Barry?
She tilted her head in that way that always melted my heart. She looked at our picture resting in her lap.
I love you.
I love you too. I felt myself being pulled away. The Speed Force reached out and took my hand. I didn't protest. It was time to stop running.
This has been a graphic audio production of DC Comics Crisis on Infinite Earths. Copyright 2009 by DC Comics, all rights reserved. All names, characters, and elements are trademarks of DC Comics. Copyright 2009 DC Comics, all rights reserved. Novel written by Marv Wolfman. Based on a story by Marv Wolfman and George Perez. With performances by Christopher Grayville as Barry Allen, James Konacek as Superman, Mort Shelby as The Monitor, Elizabeth Jernigan as Harbinger, Ren Casey as Supergirl, Bruce Allen Rauscher as Pariah, Christopher Walker as the Psycho Pirate, Tim Gatman as Alexander Luther Jr., Colleen Delaney as Wonder Woman, Lily Beacon as Iris West, Richard Rowan as the Joker, Terrence Aselford as Uncle Sam, Nanette Savard as Lois Lane, Casey Platt as Batgirl, Michael Glenn as Kid Flash, Andy Clements as Carrick Volt, Peter Stray as Firestorm, Thomas Penny as Cyborg, Scott McCormick as Solivar, David Coyne as Plastic Man, Jeff Baker as Alexander Luther Sr., Kate Foster as Lady Quark, Tim Carlin as Perry White, Jonathan Watkins as Blue Beetle, Sonny Lasky as Mary Marvel, Joe Brack as Kamandi, Dolores King-Williams as Starfire, Elizabeth Demery as Firebrand, with Ken Jackson, Sherry Simpson, Eric Messner, Stephen Carpenter, and Bobby Aselford as Bart Allen. Directed and adapted for graphic audio by Richard Rowan. Produced by Rick Rowan and Dwayne Beeman. Executive producers James Cutting, Mary Cutting, and Angie Cornett. Dialogue editing by Chris Rowan. Graphic audio sound design by Brian Patton and Chris Rowan. The Crisis theme was composed by Dan Smith. Additional original music by Dan Smith, Brian Patton, and Nathaniel Perry. If you enjoyed Crisis on Infinite Earths, be sure to look for our other graphic audio DC Comics titles, including Infinite Crisis and 52, available at Road Stops Everywhere, at 1-800-670-5220, or at www.graphicaudio.net.